Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Well, it's been almost a year since the last time I spoke with model and actress Margaret Luce, and she's back with us today to talk to us not only about her own journey in the public, but also what it's been like for her to do the work that she loves, as well as the spotlight causes that matter to her. If you're curious as to what's coming up next for Margaret, we're going to talk about that, as well as how you all can stay in contact with her as well. Margaret, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you. What a wonderful, wonderful surprise to talk to you tonight. I'm so excited. I looked at the email and I thought, oh, I'm on in just a little bit. I get to talk to you. The year goes by really quickly, doesn't it?
Really quickly. And you know, you have been very busy, as you always have been busy, Margaret. I mean, doing the work that you love, but also, as I mentioned, bringing, you know, attention to causes that matter to you. And I think it's so important that we have a conversation like this, because you have been able to find what is your passion, be able to pursue that, and then, of course, to use that spotlight that you have in the public, you know, of raising awareness. What has that overall journey been like for you to do that, Margaret, to not only find enjoyment in life, but also to know that you're making a difference?
Well, I think we're always on that journey to find that. You know, I don't know really, I don't know the answer to that, because I don't know if I've found it yet. I just keep going forward. You know, it's sort of like that line from Gone with the Wind, there's always a tomorrow, you know,
right,
or tomorrow is another day.
Yeah.
So you just keep going forward, and along the way you find what happiness, you know, you can in that moment. And I think sometimes you can even make light of a bad situation in life. That's always easiest. But I don't know. You know, I'm on a journey to what and where, I don't know, but I just kind of keep going forward, and it moves me.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, though, Margaret, is that it moves you, and that, I think, is great in itself. But then, of course, you know that, you know, not only are people inspired by you, because for one thing, your attitude is always great, but also, you know, you have been very willing, you know, to be able to open up your heart to, as I said, you know, to use your name, you know, to bring awareness to causes. Is that just who you are? Is that just a part of being Margaret and allowing that to shine through in the public?
I think it is, and I think any time that I try to dim it, it just doesn't work for me. It is who I am, and for whatever reason, I was blessed with that, and I think that's where I feel a responsibility to kind of help others that don't have that. You know, some of us have it, and it's not that difficult for us, you know, to get up in the day and even make a good day out of a bad day. You know, I've always had that. I've always been able to turn things around and look for the light. And I always find it through helping others, and it may be quietly, but I always find it through the work that I do for Carp and Fern House. I find it incredibly rewarding. And you know what? I'm blessed for it. I think that good things happen to those who are good, not the other way around. Sometimes you think the world is going in that direction, but, you know, just keep moving forward and wait for the blessings. They're there. But I think, again, those of us who are born with that, that kind of have that kind of get-up-and-go attitude and looking at the brighter side, it's almost our responsibility to help people that don't have it. You know, there's so many people that just can't, for whatever reason, get out of that. And I'm there to help. You know, it was funny, even in dealing with some of the guys that I've dealt with and some of the conversations I had with one friend of mine who suffers, and he's been in and out of institutions his whole life, and he's brilliant, an incredible writer, one of the wittiest people I know, really, you know, could have been a fantastic actor or writer. And I didn't understand it. And he said, you know, I just don't have that. He said, I don't walk into a room and feel like I own it. I don't have that around me. And he said, I just want to disappear. And he said, you know, you don't have that. You walk in and you're happy and it's, you know, hey, what's going on? And I just thought that must be really difficult to walk through life like that and
right,
feel like you need something as a crutch, you know. And I don't think anybody does. I think it's just that they haven't done the work that they need to do in their life and also move on from that. You know, you can hold on to things too long.
Exactly.
I've gone to Yeah. I've gone to quite a few Al-Anon meetings, and I've heard people repeat the same story over and over again, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, like, there does come a time where you need to also let it go.
Exactly. And I think in letting it go, that's also, you know, part of the joy in being able to really be able to appreciate life and where you are. You bring up a really good point, though, Margaret, and I want to kind of talk with you about it. And that is, you know, when you talk about the individual that says, you know, that they don't feel as though they own the room and that kind of thing. And you referenced your work with Fernhouse. You know, when we scheduled this conversation, you know, the events of the past, you know, several days had not happened. And I think it is so appropriate that, you know, when I was prepping for the segment with you, I was watching an interview that you did just about a week ago that was posted on your Twitter handle at Margaret Luce, where we'll remind people of that a little bit later, where you were kind of talking about Fernhouse and, of course, the work that you've been able to do and what some people even said on your page are issues that are sometimes, you know, normally swept under the rug. Where do you find the courage? Because I believe that is really the thing for so many people, Margaret. They're lacking the courage to not only realize their inner power, but to walk in that power. How did you discover that for yourself and then be able to use it the way that you're doing today?
Wow. You know, God, for sure. And my mother has helped me quite a bit in building my character. I haven't always agreed with everything, but it's helped me quite a bit. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think that I am incredibly honest with myself. I think that I don't need to sit and dwell on things. I know that I was brought to this cause because of, you know, personal reasons and family members that suffer. And I will say suffer because they do. And I think it's you know, the hard part is, and I think how this disease is viewed, mental illness and addiction, which really kind of coexist, I find, together in most cases, they suffer. I mean, they suffer more than you or I or anybody could ever know, and that is, to me, is the hardest thing. So I don't know. You know, I don't know. I just always get lost in our conversation. I don't even know the original question.
No, we were just talking about the courage, Margaret. You know, how you've been able to find the courage, you know.
I enjoy it. I enjoy these people. I enjoy it more than anything. You know, I'm always in these circles, a lot of socialites down here, and it's this and that and the other. But, you know, truthfully, I've found most of them before. And a lot of them do things that are, you know, for their own reasons. You know, I don't know. Not everybody is involved in this kind of field or world for their own, you know, a lot of them are benefiting from it, is what I will say in a nice way. I found some of it to be very superficial. So the courage to do it is just speaking the truth, really speaking the truth. And there was a funny book that I read, not funny, it was very serious. It was called Radical Honesty, and I've got to get the author for you. But I was just a few paragraphs. It's a tough book because you can only read a few paragraphs, and then you kind of have to put it down because you're like, where did this guy get this from? But it's just really breaking through these barriers, and let's move on, people. Come on. You know, we know where this stems from. And sometimes it's always the courage for somebody to just, you know, speak out and do something. I need to do more. I need to reach out to the community more. I kind of sit back a little bit. It's really, really difficult for me to ask for money. I like to do things in my own way and kind of I'm more hands-on, but I need to work on that. And I am working on that in my life. Every year it's like I try to, you know, we try to improve.
Right.
So that's what I'm going to be working on.
I was having a
conversation. The courage to ask for money.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, we all have something. I mean, we all have something that we need to work on when it comes to courage, for sure, Margaret. Margaret, I wanted to ask you this, you know, about what you just shared, actually, and that is, you know, where you are in your life and how you are always looking forward, looking to being better. And I think that is the great – I definitely try to do that every day. How can I be better today? You know, what can I do today to make a difference? And that's kind of what motivates me. Has it just been a side effect for you as you are living your life, as you're being the person that your mother raised you to be and that life lessons have taught you about, has it just been an added benefit that you have been able to inspire people to do the same thing in their own lives?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. I think so. It definitely is. I listen. I'm a good listener. I chat with people, and I love to always help somebody or give them a little idea to move forward. And sometimes it's just a tiny little nugget that they mention, and from that something beautiful can grow. So, you know, I like to do that. I'm a good listener, which makes one a good actress, you know.
Exactly. So let's use that as a segue then. So I love the way you put that in there. So,
well,
you know, of course,
as
you know,
Meryl Streep said, you need to listen.
There you go. You know, when we first had our first conversation, which has now been 2 years ago, the first time you were on this program, we talked about, you know, your journey as a model and that discovery and what it was like for you to be someone's muse and to be able to use that kind of as a platform. Talk to us about acting and what it's like for you to not only to bring characters to life, but also, of course, to share a different side of life through characters.
I love it, and I need it. I really do. I find my world so busy with raising children and doing the things that I do that I really have gotten back to what I'm passionate about, and I love to read. I love plays. I love to go to the theater. I'm really excited. I was asked to be a very teeny, teeny, tiny part of a Broadway show. So I'm getting my education in that as associate producer, again, in a really small way. And that's really been exciting for me. But I miss working. I miss being on the stage. And I'm preparing for that moment. You know, with young children, they needed my focus. And I think with this year coming up, they're 7 and 9, they're doing really well in school, so I think I'll be able to get back on track with my career. But sometimes you just can't. You know, you can't do everything. So it was they needed me, but it is my passion. I really miss it, and I love being in the film world also. So when I saw myself on screen, I thought, wow, you know what, I'm not that bad. I need to do this again while I still can.
Yeah. I referenced earlier, of course, your being on Twitter at Margaret Luce is where people can find you there, and that's LUCE. Mm-hmm. And they can stay in contact with the updates. They can watch the interview that I mentioned, you know, that was posted a little over a week ago, Margaret. They can watch it there on your page. Let's talk about social media, because you were actually praising it recently on Twitter, you know, this new media that we have at our disposal, where I was talking last segment to a guest, and we were talking about that, you know, it used to be, you know, even just 10 years ago, we were kind of in a vacuum in certain ways. You did something and you didn't know until it actually was released what people thought about it. Now, literally in real time, you know, we're able to discuss things as it's evolving, as it's coming together. You know, what has it been like for you to be a part of that evolution of connecting with your fans as well as sharing information yourself?
It's really exciting. It really is when you think about it. I kind of went into it a little frightened and a little just really unsure, because I'm not a techie. I mean, seriously, it's terrible. I'm getting there and I'm better at it, but I do enjoy. I enjoy sharing pictures, and I enjoy receiving some positive feedback. And you know, especially with in light of, you know, what happened with Robin Williams, it's just incredible that there's so much support reaching out across the world. So people suffering in that moment from what, you know, depression or addiction and some sort, they can reach out and sort of heal with other people and connect with other people. I think it's wonderful for sharing that kind of information. And of course, it's lovely to see photos of people in beautiful places. It you can escape a little bit. I love it as long as it's serving and doing something positive. You know,
right.
I think that it's fantastic. And look what it's done in the medical world. I mean, there's so many people that have, you know, been able to receive help and treatment through that. So I do like it. I'm not in love with it yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there because I'm really just still understanding it, you know, because
yeah.
I think I still suffer from who wants to hear that? Like, that is so boring. Like, why would anybody care what I think? And, you know, and Miss Julie Nguyen, our friend in common,
right.
You know, is, you know, in her early 20s. So she, of course, has a different, you know, mindset altogether. So I'm learning from young people also. So it's, you know, it's a powerful medium.
No, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Julie. Julie, thank you so much for setting up another conversation here with Margaret. You know, the other thing that I thought about when you were talking about it is that it really, I think, is – in many ways helps in kind of rallying people, rallying the troops, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, you know, Robin Williams, and the thing that I wanted to say about that really quickly that I think is so fascinating about people in the public, and I'm curious as to your thoughts about this, and if you'd rather not answer, you don't have to, but, you know, I have been just really floored, I have to say, at how his life has impacted people exactly when it needed to, that they all have something about his legacy that they can hold on to. Is that something that you think about with your own journey of being able to leave something that people will be able to find inspiration in?
Well, yeah, maybe the 100 people that might see my film. Other than that, I hope it starts with my family. I hope it starts with my children, and it can go on from there. But it's a very painful thing when somebody like this goes, because I think you get, you know, everybody hits their head and they go, well, what, why, where was I? And I get that so much with some of my friends who have lost their children due to suicide. And I think that's the pain of it, is that this also affects everybody. He's gone, so he's not feeling it, but everybody, the wake of, you know, in his case, millions of people that are mourning him, but his immediate family, you know, you say, well, gosh, should I have picked up the phone when he rang? Should I have... was really repeated today on radio, and Whoopi was asking him some really wonderful questions, and there was a question from an audience member. I think it was a city hall or a town hall kind of venue.
Yeah.
And she was closing the show off. It was ready to go, and he goes, no, that lady has a question. And it had something to do with family, and he was talking about this new show he's on, and it was like he wanted to get this out. He wanted his daughter to know that he adored the time that they spent together, and I think she had been inviting him over for dinners and things like that. I think she's also in the business. And it was just very interesting that he was talking about all these major, major things in life and his work and, you know, the people he's involved with, and then he sort of, you know, spoke about dinner, you know, at his daughter's house. And I think it's just really a message for all of us that, you know, just don't look away. Don't look away and always be in touch. There's so many times I pick up the phone when I really don't want to. And we've all been there.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a crisis going on now with somebody who was doing very well and is not doing well. And, of course, the first reaction is, well, you know, I'm done. I'm da-da-da. I'm not going to talk to that person. I'm just going to give them a month. You know what? That's the time that you can't. So, again, it's sort of like, you know, when you talked about the courage to go on or what motivates you, you know, some of us have it. And some of us that are blessed with it and we don't suffer for something like this daily, hourly, it's almost our duty, you know. So if this again is an awakening, and I hope that, you know, we all tend to forget. Everybody moves on so quickly when a tragedy happens, but we can't. We have to keep this in our minds, and I hope that everybody called their friend or relative or employee that suffers from something like this and just, you know, reminded them how great it is to have them on the planet. Because, you know, once you're gone, and it's just devastating.
And I think, Margaret, what it did for me is to better appreciate that all of us have something to offer. And I think that's the thing. And maybe we won't be on, you know, major motion pictures or, you know, in plays or whatever, but all of us have a gift to offer the world and that the world needs. And I think that's the other thing. I think when we forget that the world needs us, the world needs exactly what we have to offer, I think that is, you know, part of the sadness. So I think to daily remind people of the gift that they are is so important for sure. Margaret, you have a lot of things that you're working on now, things that are coming up. Is Twitter the best place for our listeners to be able to stay connected with you?
It is. But be patient with me because I don't tweet too much. You know, sometimes I get into this spastic mode, and even Julie, who's obviously, you know, working in public relations, she'll say, oh, well, you had a busy little weekend, didn't you? And, you know, so sometimes I have a good time with it. But I'll tweet once a day. But, again, I think I'm always balancing something off. And then especially around this tragedy, you know, you don't want to be quick about it or quippy. you know, so, you know, I will tweet it more important things, and I will try to get better at it. I will try to tweet at least once a day. And I'm always on a health kick, too. I mean, I'm always looking for the new, you know, turmeric was my last thing with parsley that I was sharing with everyone, and it was fantastic. And the dry saunas, and then the cryotherapy, which is now the freezing therapy, you know, this interesting treatment that is working and helping people with Alzheimer's and all of this. So I'm always searching that out. I just need to share more of that, my health tips also.
Well, we definitely appreciate you and the time that you've been able to spend with us, and also the work that you're doing to help others as well, not only with Fern House, but I think in the other endeavors you've been a part of. And it goes without saying, you know you're welcome back here anytime.
Oh, you're amazing. I love you. I miss you.
Hey, love you too, and so glad that you had a chance to stop by, especially at this time. Again, everyone, twitter.com/MargaretLuce is where you guys can stay in contact with her. That's LUCE, so make sure you guys are tweeting with her. I actually tagged her on our page so you guys can easily find her. And Margaret, you know, until next time, we'll hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Blessings to you.
Blessings to you as well. And we thank all of you for tuning in to another edition of Conversations Live. If you came in late and missed part of the conversation with Margaret, don't worry. Thanks to our friends online, you guys can find the podcast a little bit later after we go off the air. You can also find the link on our social media pages at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.